Hello and welcome to day three of the World Cup Minute. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, we are recording from our respective offices. This is
undisclosed locations. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah, that's right. We're recording from undisclosed locations that may or may not have more ambient noise than our home bases. And I am feeling a little hoarse from yesterday, screaming at the TV during that U.S.-Wales match. How's your voice doing?
Great.
I'm doing fine. You sound great. Yeah, you sound great.
I'm much younger than you, so that might be a factor there, Brandon. You know,
just general wear and tear on my vocal cords.
Yeah, exactly. Those extra 3 years make a huge difference. No, I'm feeling okay. I did, and this is probably going to be a recurring problem for me, is I didn't sleep super well last night because I woke up kind of early this morning. Because I knew this that Argentina game was on, and like in the back of my head, it was like a kind of, it was like when I started to stir a little bit, I was like, let me just check the score real quick.
Yeah, right.
And this is 6:30 in the morning or whatever, a little earlier than I typically wake up, and I looked and I was like, wait, Saudi Arabia is winning this game 2-1. And once you see that Argentina is losing to Saudi Arabia, there's basically no going back. You don't roll over and fall back asleep after that.
No, you want to know more. You definitely want to know more.
Yeah.
And it was definitely a day for, it's been a World Cup of star men taking pens, and many of them converting, like Gareth Bale and Lionel Messi. And then we'll get to Robert Lewandowski and how he kind of let Poland down by missing his pen opportunity against Mexico. But, I mean, right out of the gate, the theory I came up with in yesterday's World Cup Minute, Josh, was that this was going to be a World Cup of the great teams being greater than expected and the bad teams being worse than. Hmm. And today, I think day three was one of the hardest ones to predict. I mean, especially when Australia went 1-0 up against France, you thought, well, is this going to be the most remarkable World Cup ever where the cats sleeping with dogs, et cetera. Mm-hmm. France did right the ship, and that's a pretty straightforward narrative there. But how are you feeling about these results writ large?
Yeah, I feel like one catastrophic upset is enough for one day, right? Like you get a bunch of them and you're like, okay, so is this even like, are they even at their best? You know what I mean? It starts to like rewire your thinking a little bit, but one upset is perfect because that makes you feel like anything can happen right now. And so, yeah, I mean, the two nil-nils were matches that in both cases were not shocking nil-nils. I mean, we can just get right into the matches if you want. Well, let's start off with those nil-nils because they're maybe the easiest ones to talk about. I mean, I think the Denmark-Tunisia game was, it was kind of interesting. I mean, just I wonder if Tunisia is actually the team that might be a little more disappointed from that match. Denmark was certainly favored going into it, our beloved Danish dynamite, Brandon. But
bang.
From what I was able to gather, this is like, like you said yesterday, it's trickier when there's 8 hours of matches on. You really have to sort of, be delicate with your time.
And then budget it out, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah. I recommend, by the way, this is a free advert for YouTube TV. I highly recommend it because they can just record, they record all of these and then you can look at your phone and you can actually just rewind the little ticker and you can go back and watch everything that just happened. So that's what I did this morning with the Saudi Arabia matches. I went and rewatched the two goals. The second Saudi Arabia goal, by the way, if you've not seen it, is a spectacular goal. It's really wonderful.
The goal was spectacular. Wholeheartedly agree. The reaction videos around social media are equally fantastic. I saw one video of this Saudi family, a bunch of guys gathered around the TV. The goal goes in. Everyone loses their mind. The door to the house is like the front door. It's open. And some guy is so excited, he actually rips the door off of his hinges and carries it outside of the house. People going off. You love to see it.
It's great. And this is what makes the World Cup so special, obviously. And I think what's great, too, is that, when we think about Saudi Arabia, certainly the way we have been talking about it on the podcast, it's Saudi Arabia as the kind of, you think of these sort of family, right? And the sort of whatever you want to call the sort of people at the top. And it's not that you forget, but it's just like, the way that it sort of impacts us typically is their ownership of Newcastle, for example. Mm-hmm. And then you watch this match and you're like, right, but these people who just were born there, they're just people and they love football and to see them excited. And there was a shot of this fan in the stands who at the end of the whistle was just crying into his flag. And I just totally get that. I understand how you would just be so overwhelmed that you would. And it's very heartening to see this kind of stuff. It's what makes this such a special thing. And I feel like last week, I've decided that I'm actually really glad that there was no lead up to the World Cup except for 1 week, because it was all bad news last week. It was like every piece of new news that broke was. Sorry about that.
There we go. That's live broadcasting, folks. You never know who's going to pop in.
Yeah. Sorry, that threw me off.
Yeah, we'll save that. We'll save that guest for later. I'm with you. The getting completely overwhelmed by the scenes, and that's why we would encourage people who are coming to the World Cup and soccer through the World Cup is try to get out there and watch matches with other people. I'm probably less likely to cry at a result if I'm sat alone on my couch and in my apartment. But yeah, you were also hinting at like the cascade of bad news last week leading up. I mean, the bad news hasn't stopped since the World Cup started.
No,
the rainbow armbands, and that's just like inexcusable. I really hope that. Yeah. Harry Kane, to pick him out of the lineup. I hope that he's heard enough of the people say, just take the yellow card. That would be actually important. Yeah. I would like to see some yellow cards being given out during the next round of fixtures.
Yeah, just pick some player who's very not likely to get a yellow. Make Mason Mount the captain at the start of a game or something. Or, you know, or even better, bring someone on as the captain and then sub him in the first minute. That would be a real powerful statement. Maybe they'll do that in the third match or something if they win the first two.
So I mean, cool.
hopefully they don't win that second match, Brennan, because that's against us on Friday. But the Denmark Tunisia game, in Mexico Poland. The only thing about Mexico Poland was that it was probably the best result for Argentina. If one of those teams had won today, I feel like that would have made things a little tricky for Argentina. But with that draw, they're probably fine. They just need to win their next two. If they even win one and draw one, they should be able to go through. And I think Ochoa, just the legend himself, like I don't know how he's never made his way over to the Premier League. It seems like every time I see him, he's like standing on his head. You know, he's spectacular.
An incredible tournament goalkeeper. I mean, it aroused memories of Jorge Campos, who was the previous iteration of Ochoa, like a very memorable tournament keeper for Mexico. And I'll just jump ahead to Kit Talk, Josh, which is my favorite section of the podcast. And Mexico, they continue to crush it in the kit department. You know, the vibrant green with the red Adidas stripes, just so iconic. And they've got a good fit for this World Cup. Well done to Adidas there. But I think it's some people want the narrative to be, I want to know exactly who the favorite is for the World Cup after the first round of fixtures. It's like having some question marks is fun. Like there are plenty of nations who have won the World Cup after losing their opening match or drawing their opening match. So this kind of just ratchets up the intrigue a little bit to see these results. And now Argentina have a hill to climb. And there's, you know, they have every way of climbing that hill.
Wow, what a beautiful metaphor that is, Brandon.
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of Kate Bush recently, Josh, if you can't tell.
And then you talk about good teams sort of being good, Brandon. I think with France, Australia, right? Australia, sucker punches them right at the start. Mm-hmm. And then France says, okay, yeah, we're actually way better than you. And they sort of ran over Australia for the rest of the match. It was, this one I was actually able to watch a little more of. And it was... unsurprisingly, really one-sided. You forget, even with Benzema out, this team is just incredibly loaded. And honestly, Olivier Giroud is just, everything he does is sort of, it's like his skill set is like the same at 25 as it is at 36 or whatever. Right? There's, it's like, holds up the ball, set up his teammates, almost scored. I remember this, Brandon, in episode one of this podcast, I said I wanted a scissor kick that bounced off the ground into the net, and I almost had it. Then he missed by about 3 inches today. It was such a heartbreaker. Yeah. But he scored. He looked terrific, obviously. That team is just, Rabiot with the opening goal, it was just a really dominant performance, I felt like, once they sort of centered themselves after that opening goal from Australia.
Yeah, and Giroud with the brace, you know, he's right up there with Ener Valencia now in the Golden Boot race. But I think we talked about the absence of Karim Benzema. It does just open the door for a guy like Giroud. And a team as stacked as France, you know, injuries aside, they still have just like tons of great talent. And all that skill set you were outlining there of Giroud, he has the ability to let the other players around him shine. It is like specifically that hold up play up front. Just get the ball up to Giroud. He'll hold it up and let somebody like Mbappe run onto it, and he's clear through goal.
Yeah, I mean, and I think he scored his second goal, the fourth goal of the match. I think he scored it with his ear, because when that went in, he immediately collapsed, did the Giroud starfish, which he sort of is sort of famous for in the Premier League, just you know, on his back with arms and legs splayed.
Yeah,
we saw that a lot. Usually
after he's missed an opportunity, though, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. He's rewritten his. I love him now. I think you know. So great story. I mean, is Giroud underrated, overrated, properly rated? Someone suggested, our friend Dan Parsons suggested on Twitter, that it's all of the above. That he is somehow probably. I mean, maybe his combination of underrated and properly rated. I'm not sure that he's overrated necessarily, but just an easy player to like. And I think that team is it kind of has it all. I mean, I think you have to sort of. They have reaffirmed the idea that they are one of the three or four teams that are most likely to win the World Cup. I really felt good about them coming out of today's matches.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Any more thoughts on, then one, by the way, we're going to try to go back to, the idea is that we're actually going to do these in like 20 minutes and not go insanely long every single time. So on anything, any thoughts on the nil nils, any thoughts on, before we move on to the kind of winners and losers for today?
Yeah, I think it just has to come back to Argentina. I think they remain kind of one of the more interesting teams of today because Saudi Arabia, they'll be high, but Argentina, will they be able to respond to a blow like this, losing this match? And as we kind of tried to stress, it's not as big a blow as it may feel like today for Argentina fans, but Messi and this, his versions of the national teams, they have a tendency, like when things aren't going their way, to collapse a bit. So I'm very curious to see what kind of mentality we get from Argentina.
I'm curious too. I mean, it's, they did win the Copa America last year, which maybe I thought it would maybe erase some of the demons, some of the World Cup demons that seems to have been haunting them for, I don't know, like more than a decade. Even though they made the World Cup final, and the Brazil, it still feels like it didn't change anything. Maybe because that World Cup final was that was kind of a bummer of a match. When I think back on that match, it was just kind of a, nobody really grabbed that one, by the scruff of its neck. And certainly not Messi, who really still doesn't have that kind of international stage moment, unfortunately. I feel like even winning the Copa America last year, it kind of felt like it was Emi Martinez's Copa America. He was so great in that that tournament run.
That was the Mario Götze game winner for Germany, wasn't it?
It was.
And came on as a super sub.
Götze, again, wasn't it?
What a combination. Sure, that's like
Fulham legend.
That's like getting Larry Bird and Jordan on the same basketball team. It's just incredible stuff. Yeah, so that's day three. Intriguing, to say the least. And how does that set us up for tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, tomorrow we're now officially on this schedule of four matches a day. Kick things off, we have Morocco Croatia at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's a fun match. I was looking at the Croatia team, and it's remarkably similar to the Croatia squad that we saw in 2018. I mean, it's just the question is just, does it matter that everybody's like 4 years older? I mean, with someone like Luka Modric, I'm not sure it does really matter that much, right? He's
ageless, yeah.
Yeah. And obviously we have, I don't know, like I think, you know, the Morocco is a little more of a question mark. I mean, they're of all the African countries, they're considered, you know, one of the teams that really has a chance to maybe do a little bit of damage. So I'm really curious to see how they play. I mean, they have Hakim Ziyech, who, again, you've got to like take off your Premier League glasses. Like I sort of see him as this Chelsea disappointment. But a lot of these players, when they're in their national teams, it's a whole different story, right? You've got to kind of throw away their club football record. And so, I don't know. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on that opening match today or tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't have any huge thoughts other than just kind of bring it on. As you said, the Croatia team has not changed much since 2018. And do you think that they feel like they have unfinished business? Just doesn't strike me as the team that has unfinished business. They kind of made their statement, right?
Yeah. I agree. They finished their business, and and Modric won the Ballon d'Or. Like, I don't know. That's like pretty good. Yeah. That was like, making the final, I think was a quasi victory for them. Mm-hmm. And then that brings us to Germany, Japan. And I mean, this group, the group E, is really interesting. It's Germany, Spain, Japan, and Costa Rica are all in that group. And of course, Germany and Spain are the two favorites, but it wouldn't shock me if one of those two clubs didn't make it through. Not feeling hugely confident in Costa Rica, but Japan, maybe they might have a shot.
Yeah, I mean, Japan had a good result against the U.S. In the build-up to the World Cup and in the friendlies. This Spain team, speaking of teams that, unlike Croatia, may have unfinished business, Spain, they kind of flirted with success in the Euros last summer, and they have a lot of interesting players and some players who, like, their story is not totally written. I mean, Morata up front for Spain particularly jumps out to me. Like, a player who is perennially disrespected for not being able to rise to the the crowning moment.
Well, and it's perfect because you've got Kai Havertz on the other side too, right? I mean, Germany and Spain are both lead the lines with players that are honestly like fairly maligned. And I think what's interesting about both these clubs is that they both feel like nations in transition. Like their football teams feel like they're in transition. Mm-hmm. Of course, in Spain and Germany, two teams that have both won the World Cup in the last 15 years. And that Spanish team from 2010, it was so perfect. I mean, it was basically like a perfect team. Yeah, they would have beaten probably any team in the World Cup this year. They were brilliant. And I don't know. I mean, well, I was pretty impressed with France today, I have to say. Yeah. Let's see how Brazil looks. I think they play tomorrow. But yeah, I think there's a lot of... I think they play on Thursday, actually. I think there's... so it's hard to say. Like, it doesn't feel like there's that kind of one superstar on either club that's going to just sort of propel them to victory. There's not even like that kind of Luka Modric sort of brilliant playmaker that's going to connect everything and make it happen with either of these two squads.
I will say with Germany, I'm very excited about their wide players. I mean, Serge Gnabry at Bayern Munich, he's one of the coolest looking professional footballers for my money. Sure. And then Leroy Sané on the other side. And it's like all Bayern Munich in the midfield. For Germany, you'll have Goretzka and Kimmich also starting for Germany, presumably. And there will be a degree of chemistry there where there may not be with the Spanish side. I mean, we keep talking like Spain is playing Germany tomorrow. They're not. Right. But these are kind of like things to look out for, players to look for. Like, I think if these key players have good form, that will tell you, give you a clearer picture of who we think is going to top this group.
I do love that Joel Campbell for Costa Rica is now in what, like his 12th World Cup? Like this guy, is he still on loan from Arsenal? It's like year 17 of being on.
Somebody lost that loan paperwork and he's just like, he's probably no longer on the payroll. He just thinks he still has to keep showing up for work.
There's a handful of Premier League players kind of scattered across, well, certainly, obviously, the Spanish and German teams both have that. And Ferran Torres doesn't play for Spain anymore, but I love Ferran Torres. I think he's really, really fun and easy player to fun and easy player to root for. I don't know. I mean, yes. He plays for Barcelona now, Brandon. Is that, I feel like once you go to like the biggest club, or whatever they are, I don't even know.
A famous club,
one of the two biggest clubs, I'd say, along with Real. But I think that the Spain team is kind of easy to root for. There's a lot of players I like in there. And then Germany, I mean, they have Antonio Rüdiger, who I just find impossible to root against as well. I don't know what it is
about Rüdiger. I know what you mean.
What is it about him? It's just he just seems cool, right? It's like he's like lanky and sort of like there's something about his style. Of play.
His style is very much he kind of makes it look easy. He also makes it look like he's enjoying himself to a degree. You're used to center backs like Virgil van Dijk, who, he should basically be wearing a hat that says genius at work or something like that. You're like, okay, buddy, like maybe take your foot off the gas a little bit here. And Rüdiger is just out there saying, like, you could do that, but also smile from time to time.
I like, by the way, the U.S. has a Tim Ream. The Germans have another defender, David Rahm. So it's Ream versus Rahm, Brendan. I hope they meet up in one of the elimination matches.
Yeah, we'll find out if it's Reamstein or Rahmstein. Time will tell.
And then the final match tomorrow is Belgium Canada, and I am really excited about this. So for anyone who's not in the United States listening to this podcast, Thanksgiving weekend is or this week sort of begins our Thanksgiving week, and I'm off tomorrow, Brandon. So I am very excited about watching this this Belgium Canada match. I mean, it's what the World Cup's all about, right? Like Belgium Canada, like not a friendly I would necessarily be like glued to in June, but. Yeah. Oh my gosh, am I excited about this match tomorrow. And speaking of that kind of that playmaker that's missing from Spain and Germany is there on Belgium, right? Can Kevin De Bruyne have this sort of Luka Modric level run? That he's in great form, brilliant player in the prime of his career. If it's going to happen, it's got to be this tournament, right?
Yeah, and that's an apt comparison because people have kind of lost faith in the Belgian squad. They're at the tail end of this golden age and remarkably gifted, accomplished players like from Eden Hazard and Romelu Lukaku, who will lead the line with De Bruyne. But, everyone, I think, is kind of sick of Belgium being the hipster pick and they've not been able to get it done. So they will need, De Bruyne a la Modric in 2018 to just put this team on his shoulders and see what he can do. And he will have to do it against probably the best Canadian player in the history of that nation's program.
Alfonso Davies.
Yeah, exactly. And, going back to Bayern Munich, he completes that Bayern Munich, squat, whatever. I backed myself into a rhetorical corner there. But
where's
yeah.
Junior Hoylett, Brandon? Junior
where
Hoylett,
is he? Where
he
is
didn't
he?
Crack this team? Outrageous.
I'm very curious to see. I'm excited to see this. I mean, this Canadian team, they haven't been in a World Cup since, I don't know, since pre-war era, maybe. Yeah.
Prediction for tomorrow, Brendan, just looking at this Belgium defense right now. We got Toby Alderweireld and Jan Vertonghen. You got the Spurs quasi-legends there, Tim Castagna. I'm predicting at least one Canadian goal. Okay, so if you're betting tomorrow, a Canada Belgium both teams to score bet, I think is a very strong bet for tomorrow's match. I think this could be one of the more high scoring matches we've seen in the World Cup so far.
Yeah, and I think what defined Canada through the qualification process in CONCACAF, and because we're Americans, we saw a fair few of these Canadian matches. They had a certain swagger and confidence during that qualifying that makes me feel like they're not going to be overawed by this occasion and they're going to come to play. So, I think this is going to be a really fun game.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm really looking forward to all the matches tomorrow. And I'm glad that the 5 a.m. one is not one. I would say the match I'm least excited about is the earliest one. So thank goodness for that. I feel like we're going to get out of the match prediction game here too much because I just, let's keep our eyes open, Brent. I think as the stakes become clear, as everyone has one match in, I think it'll be a little easier for us to kind of get a sense of what we might see in these matches. But after Saudi Arabia, Argentina today, it feels like I don't know, just perfect. I feel like, you know, in terms of like winners and losers for the World Cup so far, I just think as a fan experience, it's been spectacular. Even as an American fan who had a draw that felt like a loss, it just feels like we really, I don't know, it's just been super fun so far, right? I mean, no complaints for the actual matches.
Yeah, and how about, I'm just going to go for it and say I'm rooting for Morocco to win that opening match because no African team has posted 3 points yet. So I'm pulling for you, Morocco. Let's go, Team Continent of Africa.
There you go. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, and I guess that was kind of cool. That was the cool thing about Saudi Arabia, too, right, is that you had a Middle East team that was able to post 3 points early on, too. Yeah. So, all right, well, that's your World Cup Minute for today. We'll see you tomorrow, and enjoy tomorrow's matches.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.